This is our Christmas Lord's Day service. And the title of our sermon is The Throne of David, The Lordship of Jesus. The Throne of David, The Lordship of Jesus. Our scripture text is from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. This was our Old Testament reading. This is a portion of it. I'll begin with just this verse in verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with justice and righteousness from henceforth forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity of a week ago to thoroughly review the house of David, the storyline of King David, and how the New Testament opens, closes, and is full of that storyline being picked up, that indeed Jesus is great David's greater son. And Father, we thank you for the challenge that says this thing we call the Christian faith, while it is mocked by many as a house of cards, it is indeed the house of David, revived and restored, glorified, and continuing to expand. We thank you for making us a part of that great, noble, and wonderful heritage, one that has a future, the only one that has a future. Father, today as we transition and look not at the house of David, but at the throne of David, Father, I ask that today, as we celebrate Christmas, that we would make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. The throne of David is about the Lordship of Jesus. There are many, and we're already practicing them. So very many wonderful and worthwhile ways and means of celebrating Christmas. This year, I want us to aim a little bit higher. Of course, there's presents, there's gift giving, there's visiting, there's food and drink. Of course, there are things that are even more what we would call spiritual than that. Perhaps we'd call other things more spiritual. Singing Christmas carols, remembering the incarnation, practicing forgiveness. Still, I want you to set your aim even a little higher. I've referenced last week's sermon a couple of times, and it really was a Bible study-like sermon where we explored the house of David, and we saw that storyline, and we saw this vast linkage and continuity between David's kingdom and Christ's kingdom. Today, let us not be content to settle for a vague awareness and appreciation for those kingdom benefits, even though those kingdom benefits are great. Today we aim higher and we see Jesus not as someone who has put together this vast house of David, but he is on the throne of David. We see Jesus on the throne as king, as our king. And this makes us who bow before him, who recognize him as such, this makes us a peculiar people, which is the very language that we find not only in the Old Testament, but we found it in our New Testament epistle lesson as well. It makes us a peculiar people. Now, without succumbing to the erroneous Eastern Orthodox overreach known as theosis, where we become gods, we ought to be those who are able to embrace holiness. Because the Bible does say that we are partakers of his divine nature. I've used a lot of words so far. What do I mean? I mean that I want our aim to be higher. I want us to, this day, this Christmas, see and serve Jesus as the Lord of your life. in Isaiah 9, 7, we open here, we're still there. It reveals this position, the throne of David. And I submit to you that this throne of David means the lordship of Jesus. And look at that opening clause. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Can it be that this Christmas marks a decisive and a distinctive vaulting forward of his rule in your life? That you'll really come to grips, not only with this kingdom stuff and this Christianity and this vague awareness, but that he sits on the throne. And you are answerable to him, not only then, but now. Yes, all those wonderful attributes and benefits, they're still there. All that stuff we read about in verse 6. Unto us a child is born. It's wonderful Christmas here. Unto us a son is given in verse 6. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All these wonderful benefits still apply. But our aim is even higher than that. Yes, Christmas means fellowship with others and gift giving and wonderful things like forgiveness and a thousand other delights that may come our way. But back in verse 7, it also means, if we look at verse 7 and we see that language of the throne of David again, back in verse 7, it also means, and it is the means, by which we become all that we should be. Can we today, in our heart, with our bodies, present ourselves to him and truly make him Lord? So that we become all that we should be. All that we should be. Far more than any earthly government, what any earthly government may aspire to do, his government and his government alone has the power to energize you and to transform you. And it is only a so energized and so transformed citizenry that can meaningfully, beneficially transform the culture. I'm with you guys. I want our country to turn around. I want the change in leadership to be successful. I want a fresh start. But we all really have to recognize how limited the civil government is in bringing that to pass. It's about us being energized and transformed. And that's where the real transformation of society will come from. Imagine if you and everybody that you know, imagine them as truly being kind and humble and honest and diligent and faithful and pure and generous and helpful, faithfully following Christ in each one of those characteristics. Even in this crooked world, even in this evil generation, which mocks at those that are kind and humble and honest and diligent and faithful and pure and generous and helpful. Every single bit as much as God wanted us to know the continuing storyline of the house of David, so also God wants us to see the transfer of power and the inauguration, and we have in, again, our own culture politically, we are all anticipating an inauguration in our life of Jesus Christ and him sitting on the throne of David in our life. Our gospel lesson showed us the David storyline. Remember Luke 2 and verse 4 here? Remember that Joseph was,
going into the city of David because he was of the house and of the lineage of David.
We see the angels announcing in verse 11 that, you know, unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior is born, Christ the Lord. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 1, in verse 32 and 33, the angel Gabriel makes a startling announcement about who Jesus would be. He shall be great, and I shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him, there it is again, not that he's just a part of this massive, vague thing called the house of David, but will give to him the throne of David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. What we're reading about here in Luke is not just a storyline, it's a duty line for us. He's the king. He's our king. And then do you recall how St. Paul connects Christmas? He connects the coming of Christ with purity and holiness and righteous living, Titus 2, 11 and 12. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. That's the incarnation. That's Christmas. He's appeared to all men, teaching us. He's connecting Christmas with sanctification, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Christmas, indeed, is about us becoming all that we can be, all that we should be. The passage continues in verses 13 and 14. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who gave himself for us, the Greek would be better, so that. What was the purpose of all of this? So that he might redeem us, that means pay back, buy us back from all iniquity, that's lawlessness, and purify unto himself, there it is, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That means you're going to stand out. You're going to stand out in this culture. You're going to be an oddball. Yeah, God wants us living lives that are pure and sober and diligent. And he'll give us the power to do that. Make this year be the year when, because of Christmas, you became different. You changed because of Christmas. Remember, God became a man, and of course we don't become God, but you know what? We can be partakers of his divine nature. And because of Christmas, because God became man, we can be different. Some of you are shaking your head, I'm sure, and saying, Pastor Jim, are you really going to talk about purity and sanctification on Christmas? Look at verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. These are the sort of things that I am supposed to speak about. Even on Christmas. Especially on Christmas. God became man so we can be all that we were meant to be. You see, I want us to see and to know Christ. And I want us to see him and to know him in this life and in the life that is to come. Hebrews 12 and 14 tells us that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That is not a trifling statement. The whole purpose of his coming was to bring us, right? Restore us, redeem us, bring us back to this life of holiness and righteousness and peace And you know what? In our heart of hearts, in our minds, we know that this is why God created us. We know that He created us for this better life than the one I'm living. Look at Luke in chapter 1, verses 74 and 75. This is part of the great Benedictus, his song here, the song of Zacharias. And we see this linkage here, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear. What does God want to do with us here? A part of our salvation, a part of our deliverance, is that we would have lives in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. What a linkage there is that exists between righteousness and peace. You know, the mobsters running around in our streets are crying out and shouting, "No justice, no peace." Equally challenging is the cry that's inside every one of our hearts, and we know this to be true. And the cry is this: no righteousness, no peace. We know that when we're not living right, we're not at peace. We know that. Ours is a culture, and maybe yours is a life in which there is no peace. Millions upon millions are seeking peace through the abuse of pills and plants and bottles and needles and 1,000 other addictions. Ours is a culture strung out on these. How about you? How about us? Look at Isaiah 9 and 7 again. Imagine this Christmas present of the increase of His government and peace. There shall be no end. Not just in the aggregate across the history of the world. How about in your life? The increase of His government, His rule. My being pure, my being righteous, bringing peace. All on the increase. Imagine that being true. That verse speaks about what happens to those who before His throne, the throne of David, bow. Finding yourself there before His throne means the increase of His government and His peace. Without Him being Lord, you're going to forfeit all of the promises and all of the peace that's here. This is what I, and this is what God is promising you who bow before Christ at Christ's throne. Look at Isaiah 32 and verse 17. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Now, I'm here to tell you that, in the ultimate sense, this is what Christ does for us. Because we are not preaching a gospel of works salvation. I am here to tell you, though, that to the degree that we walk righteously, and we walk in holiness, and we walk a sober life, and we walk in a way that's faithful and diligent and honest and humble and kind, and all of those things that we've been talking about here, we will have greater peace. His ultimate work of righteousness is your peace. And its effect is quietness and assurance forever. And so this Christmas, brothers and sisters, aim higher. Aim higher. Place Him on the throne of your life, and you will enjoy silent night as never before. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank You for Your work of righteousness, which brings peace. and its effects in our life. Father, do your work in us. Abide in us. Abide with us. Cause us to be those who walk in righteousness and justice, who do no iniquity, and who are blessed with peace. Father, I pray that for all who are within the sound of my voice this night, that they would hear your voice. And Father, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would cause them to bow in whatever way you decree, bowing their head, bowing their knee, bowing in their mind before you, they would bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, who sits upon the throne of David. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.